This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Mark Sanford joins us now. He's the former Republican governor of South Carolina, and he's now one of three people running against President Donald Trump in the GOP 2020 primaries. While Sanford says his bid is really a fight for the soul of the Republican Party, the party itself is pushing back, making it challenging, if not impossible, for Trump's challengers to make it onto the ballot in several states. And we want to hear from you. What is your question for Mark Sanford as he launches a presidential run against President Donald Trump? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Mark Sanford joins us now from Charleston, South Carolina. Governor Sanford, welcome to On Point.
It's nice to hear your voice. Pleasure.
It's good to have you, Governor. So first of all, let our listeners know, why is it that you're running against President Trump in the Republican primaries for 2020?
Because I think he's taking us in the wrong direction. I think we need to have a serious conversation as Republicans about what it means to be a Republican, because I think we've lost our way in a whole series of different things. I'd begin first with the way in which we're spending money. That was historically a linchpin to what the Republican Party was allegedly about, the idea of financial conservatism, and I'd go from there all the way to tone, which I think is misplaced these days coming out of the White House.
Do you think the Republican Party has become a cult of personality around Donald Trump?
Too much so, yes. I mean, ideally, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, you have a set of ideas and ideals that drive your political agenda. What's interesting, I'm a very conservative Republican. I voted with the administration overwhelmingly. And yet only in this moment in time that we're in right now is that enough, because the president ended up viewing me as an enemy, as an opponent. I mean, I love my brothers and sisters, but I don't agree with them all the time. And yet we still have a relationship. We carve things out. We do things. That's the way it ought to work. Politics ought to be about ideas, and what it is on all too many days seemingly out of the White House is, are you for me or against me as a person? He wants personal loyalty as opposed to ideal loyalty.
But it seems as if, the movers and shakers, the power brokers in the Republican Party don't disagree with the president. I mean, Arizona, Kansas, Nevada, South Carolina, your home state, have canceled their nominating primaries.
I would see that as a sign of weakness. I mean, South Carolina happens to be the first in the South Republican primary. It's historically had that spot. It's given South Carolinians at times disproportionate influence in national debate. And in the world of politics, if you have the chance to lock in a 90% win, which is what he alleges his support numbers are, then you take it. You take it all day long, particularly if it's the first in the South primary, given its implication in other primaries that will follow. But what they did in this instance was to say, no, let's cancel it, which is to say many people back here at home are saying it must mean his support is a mile wide but an inch deep.
Now, Governor, if I may ask, I'm going to go to our callers and let them ask, because
sure.
We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we are talking with former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford. He is one of three Republicans who are running against President Donald Trump in the GOP primaries for the 2020 presidential race. So let's go to Candy, who's calling from Sarasota, Florida. Candy, you're on the air. What's your question for Governor Sanford?
Hi. I've been doing a little research on you since you've come through for the primary, and, you know, you've been ranked pretty badly as a governor, and you've been shown to be very fiscally conservative. So what would convince me or any other you know, any other voter to vote for you, not just in a primary, but as president in general, because, you know, even if you get past the primary, we have to decide that we want you as our president. What would bring us to your side?
Well, I think of, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder in the world of politics. So to Candy's point, depending on your political perspective, I'd be great or I'd be horrible. The Cato Institute rated me as the most financially conservative governor of the United States of America. When I was in Congress, I was rated similarly by the National Taxpayers Union, Citizens Against Government Waste, groups like that. And so I think what would matter was, does the issue set of the debt and deficit and how much we're spending as a country matter to you? I think it should. If you look at the numbers, you know, we will spend more on interest next year than we do on all programs on behalf of children in the United States of America. If you're a defense hawk, you'd say, well, you know, maybe I do care about this because we'll spend more on interest than we will on national defense in just 36 months. I would also say this, not just am I a financial conservative, but I was actually endorsed by the Sierra Club, which is, I mean, and frankly, very odd. It doesn't happen a lot with Republican governors, but in my second term, because I was very involved in environmental and conservation issues, because I think the conservatism means Teddy Roosevelt kind of conservatism as it relates to natural resources and those sorts of things. I, you know, worked with Democrats on civil liberty issues. I mean, so I think you'd have to dig into the issues that are important to you. And I think I have a common sense perspective that has resulted, at least during the two terms of my governorship, in results that mattered to people's lives and impacted their lives in a beneficial way.
Now, Governor Sanford, I wonder if you think you're the best person to put forth this message about the need for a vigorous primary in the Republican Party. Because, look, as you know, for a lot of people outside of South Carolina, maybe one of the first times they heard about you is regarding one of the reasons why you had to leave the governorship of South Carolina when you had an extramarital relationship with an Argentinian woman, and then you ran for Congress and won once, and then failed to win re-election. Something which
wait. We got a couple of different urban legends in there, both of which are false.
Okay.
So one, I never left the governorship. I served out my term. So there's an urban legend that I was forced out or left. That's not true. Google me, and you'll find that what you're just saying there is not true. I served out my second term as governor. And then I actually was elected to Congress again, but it's not true that I was there just one term. Again, Google it, and what you'll find was that I was there for three terms, and not until I went it against Donald Trump rather vociferously during our 2 years of overlap that he came out against me. He endorsed my primary opponent, and that was the end of my time in politics. What is true about what you said was I did have an extramarital affair, and it proved incredibly costly. But unlike Donald Trump, who said there's nothing for which he's apologetic or sorry for, during my last year and a half of the governorship, I went on something of an apology tour. And, you know, people were finally like, shut up, we got it, Mark. But I think it was very important. And I think in the wake of public failure, you can learn a level of humility and empathy toward others that you don't have when you've only seen success in life. And so I went through a rather public failure, but it's something that is an amazing personal journey to go on back here at home, wherein people who know you best in the wake of all that say, look, we know you, we trust you, we don't approve of how you handle that particular chapter of life, but because we know you and trust you, we will actually send you back to be our emissary to Washington. We will send you back to the United States Congress. That's a rather humbling journey to go on. And so what I would say to folks, by all means, that's a part of my history, but we all have history. And the question is, do you learn from the mistakes of your life, or are you blatantly unapologetic about mistakes as the president is? And so I'd say, I guess I'd boil it down this way. I'd ask that people not judge me on the worst day or chapter of my life any more than I'd ask to judge me on my best day. Look at the totality of my time in politics and the totality of my life and make a judgment on that.
Okay, let's go to Aaron, who's calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Aaron, you're on the air.
Good morning. So my question is, as an independent voter such as myself,
what I see a lack of, I see the Republicans suppressing a democratic process in four states by not allowing a primary. And I see a lack of willingness to be transparent with a lot of the governmental criticisms that are occurring with the Republican Party. What message are the Republicans sending to independents such as myself, who cannot vote in a primary but will vote in a general?
A horrible one. I mean, you know, in some countries they have coronations, other countries they have coup d'etats, in other countries they got fixed or rigged elections. I mean, our tradition, this country, is open, robust debates and the elections that go with them. And that's what's so crazy about, you know, them shutting down an election here in South Carolina. You got a former two-term governor, somebody spent 25 years in politics, you know, 12 years in the House of Representatives, who knows a lot of people and therefore the building blocks of political movements, somebody who set up a number of successful political campaigns in this state. And they say, well, we don't want to risk it. We're going to actually end that election. I think it's anti-democratic. I think it's a mistake. And yet it is what it is. I held a series of press conferences yesterday across the state with a cardboard cutout of Donald Trump saying this is wrong. This shouldn't be the only debate that we have here in cardboard form.
Governor Sanford, a couple of minutes ago, you said, yes, you think that the Republican Party is becoming too much a cult of personality around Donald Trump. I mean, if that's the case, why do you stay in the party? Why are you still a Republican?
Because, the old saying is, do you want to stay in the family and try and change it, or do you, you know, move on? And I think that wherever possible, we ought to stay in the groups, the associations that, you know, maybe were formative in our lives, maybe something in which we invested a lot of time and energy in. I've invested 25 years of my life in the political process through the vehicle of the Republican Party. Oftentimes I was considered a libertarian or an independent. I wasn't, quote, enough of a Republican in South Carolina, but that didn't keep me from finding electoral success in South Carolina. So I think that we ought to have a robust debate of whether or not we are the party of Lincoln with regard to inclusion and equality. Are we the party of Teddy Roosevelt with regard to, you know, foreign policy or the environment? Are we the party of Reagan with regard to a sunnier disposition and, you know, certainly being a happy warrior? You can have political opponents, but that didn't make them your enemies. I think that that was more Reagan's public approach, and I think it would be. So I think that there's a strong legacy there within Republicans in doing good things. I mean, Eisenhower began the interstate system and had, I think, a robust view toward foreign policy engagements and reservations about the military-industrial complex. So I think that there's a lot to build on.
Right.
And I think we ought to have a course correction, go back to some of the fundamentals that made the party viable and strong in the first place so that we can have a healthy two-party system. Right now we have Democrats who are having a healthy and robust debate on their side, but we're simply circling the wagons on the Republican side and not having concurrent debate about what it means to be a Republican.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Governor Sanford, let me play something for you here. This was during one of your appearances on MSNBC with Chris Matthews on August 12th. This is just before you officially announced that you'd be challenging the president in the GOP primaries. And here's the interaction you had with Chris Matthews.
Let's talk about November 2020 when you'd like to be on the Republican ticket as president. Suppose the ticket is instead led by the president, current president, and also, the choice is, say somebody like Joe Biden, a moderate Democrat. Who would you vote for right now? Trump or Biden?
I mean,
who would you vote for?
Again, I am a Republican. I mean, there's no getting around
but
that.
But who would you vote for? You're out there to knock Trump off. Would you vote for him if you had to?
I believe in the sanctity of the ballot box, Chris. And so I think it's not going to be Bernie Sanders. It's not going to be Elizabeth Warren. It's not going to be a variety of different folks. I think it would be President Trump, but I would want to look at that election at that time based on the issues that are at play.
You go Trump over Biden?
I would.
Governor Sanford, that was you on August 12th. So let me ask you now, if President Trump is the Republican nominee in 2020, will you vote for him?
I'll say exactly what I said back on August 12th or 20th or whatever the date was, which is, I'll look at it at that time. I mean, I believe in issues. I think we all ought to believe in issues. And there shouldn't be, just because I'm a Republican, just because I'm a Democrat, I'm going to vote Democrat. I'm going to vote for the person who more closely aligns with me on the debt, deficit, government spending issue.
But Governor, if I just may jump in here. I just want to jump in for a second here, because you ended that interaction with Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews said, would you go Trump over Biden? And you paused and you said, I would. So my question for you is, if you think that the Republican Party is headed in veering off in the wrong direction so strongly, the direction of Donald Trump, when it comes to actually exercising your vote, why would you vote for him? I mean, you didn't even say, I just wouldn't cast a vote. You said, I would vote for Donald Trump. That's effectively giving him your support, your endorsement.
Well, the question was set up as a binary choice, A or B. It wasn't C. It was, would you vote for X or would you vote for Y? So I was trying to answer the question as it was framed.
Is there another Democrat that running that you would instead feel more confident supporting over President Trump?
I think the complexity of the question is this. What I hear from my Democratic friends is that Biden ultimately won't be the person standing. It's more likely going to be Warren or Bernie. That's what they tell me. Who knows? There's a long time to go between here and there. I think that it would be difficult for me to vote for, let's say, Bernie Sanders, simply because of the number of different costly proposals that he's laid out without a concurrent pay for. And then you go into the question of engagement with the rest of the world, institutions, tone, all those different things. But I would say that the center of the bullseye for me as it relates to issues is the way in which we're headed toward a financial hurricane. Nobody's talking about it on the Republican or the Democratic side. And I think that issue needs to be elevated. I'm trying to do that. And then if somebody's asking me, who would I vote for, it'd be the person closest to dealing with that financial hurricane that is, I believe, coming our way.
Well, Mark Sanford is the former governor of the state of South Carolina with us today from Charleston, South Carolina. He is running against President Donald Trump, one of three people running against the president in the GOP primaries for 2020. Governor Sanford, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.